Please remain standing for our scripture reading this morning. We'll be reading out of the Gospel of Luke, chapter 8. We'll begin in verse 26 and go through 39. Then they arrived at the country of the Gerasenes, which is opposite Galilee. And as he stepped out on land, a man of the city who had demons met him. And for a long time he had worn no clothes, and he did not live in a house, but in the tombs. And when he saw Jesus, he fell down before him and shouted at the top of his voice, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, do not torment me." For Jesus had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. And for many times it seized him, and he was kept under guard and bound with chains and shackles, but he would break the bonds and be driven by the demon into the wilds. Jesus then asked him, "What is your name?" He said, "Legion," for many demons had entered him, and they begged him not to order them to go back into the abyss. And now there on the hillside, a large herd of swine was feeding, and the demons begged Jesus to let them enter those. And so he gave them permission. And then the demons came out of the man and entered the swine, and the herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake and was drowned. When the swineherd saw what had happened, they ran off and told it in the city and in the country. And then people came out to see what had happened. And when they came to Jesus, they found the man from whom the demons had gone sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. Those who had seen it told how the one who had been possessed by the demons had been healed. And then all the people of the surrounding country of the Gerasenes asked Jesus to leave them, for they were seized with great fear. So he got into the boat and returned. The man from whom the demons had gone begged that he might be with him, but Jesus sent him away, saying, "Return to your home and declare how much God has done for you." So he went away, proclaiming throughout the city how much Jesus had done for him. The word of God for the people of God. You may be seated. There is a lot in a name. Names can tell stories of our families, kind of where we've come from, who we belong to. Who in here is named after somebody? All right, yeah. So my name is Stanley Arthur Harrison. And I was named after two particular men that had a profound impact on my dad's life. So my dad's father left them when he was very young. And my dad had a father figure later on in life that was a friend of my grandmother's. And he would come around and he would kind of teach my dad all those things that that boys kind of want to learn, how to throw baseballs, how to work on cars, and all these things that dad kind of remembered growing up was lessons that he had learned from this man, Friedrich Arthur. Now, Friedrich Arthur, he passed away a little bit later when my dad got a little bit older. And later on in life, once my dad was already grown and married on his own, my grandmother married again. And this man was a great man to my grandmother and a good man to my dad. His name was Stanley. And so Stanley and Arthur were two men that just had an incredible impact on my dad's life. And so when it came to name me, my dad kind of had a name all picked out. And so in a really weird way, and in a way that I like to joke about, I am named after my grandmother's boyfriend and husband at the same time. But names, they tell us a lot about us. For some of us, they tell us how creative our parents are. People often ask how my children got to be named Lavender and Wren. And I always reply, "Have you met Julia? You should have heard the names that I vetoed." Names tell us a lot. And they kind of, whether fairly or not, they kind of give us a first impression about somebody as well. For any of y'all, do you guys have like a name that as soon as you hear somebody has that name, you already have an impression of what kind of person they are? Like such and such, anybody named such and such is crazy. We all have that name. And I'm not going to say it because somebody in this room probably has that name that I'm thinking about. Names have a lot of power. They tell us a lot of things. Now, those are all names that we've talked about that other people have given us or that other people have. But the reality is we give ourselves names. We give ourselves labels. We tell stories about ourselves and kind of build up how we picture ourselves and our space in the world. And a lot of times, those can be positive names. I am tall. I am smart. I am strong. I am capable. There's those kind of labels and names that we tell ourselves when there's something that we do very well, that we say, this is the type of person that I am. Now, the other side of that is we don't always give ourselves good names either. In fact, I think if we were to stop and to think about the characteristics and the qualities that we feel like we have as people, most of us would be able to kind of name more negative and hurtful names for ourselves. That I'm lazy, that I'm dumb, that I'm hopeless, that I'm an addict, that I'm angry. And the problem is the more names we give ourselves, the more labels, the way we talk to ourselves, the way that we picture ourselves, after a while, those names and those labels begin to pile up. And they create issues and problems. They become separating from relationships. And they tend to break down the way that we see that God sees us in this life, but breaks down the way that we feel like we interact with others. And we become isolated. We become pulled apart. And it almost seems like we begin to become more defined by the problems in the issues that we have in life, rather than the way that God has really created us to be. But the good news in all of this is that there is somebody who sees past all the names that we have already given us. And he sees us how we truly are as a child of God. In our scripture reading this morning, we come to what's called the story of the Gerasene demoniac. And I love this story for a lot of different reasons, but one of the reasons why I love this story so much is this story is one of the first examples of Jesus' ministry to the Gentiles outside of the community of the Jewish faith. He goes to a separate side of the lake, to a separate country, where it has all sorts of different sets of customs, beliefs, superstitions, to find one person. And in a real way, revealing that the kingdom of God that he has brought is more than just for those who feel like they'll recognize it, but for the real hurting and seeking people in this world looking for hope and healing. And this story proves in a very real way that Jesus has come to bring that to everyone. And so it starts off that Jesus has sailed to the other side of the lake, to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, to the eastern shore, opposite the side of Galilee. And as he comes, he steps out of the boat, and a man meets him and falls down at the ground and asks, "Jesus, Son of the Most High God, what have you to do with me? Almost, how do you have plans to torment me?" And it was said that this man was full of demons, to the point to where the community and the city and his family, that there wasn't anybody who could control him, there wasn't anybody who could care for him, there wasn't anybody who had a place or a space for him anymore. And I wonder that if everybody else in this world, priests and exorcists, neighbors and strangers and friends and family have abused and tormented this man for so long, what more could this man who is coming do? And the superstitions of the day, the beliefs of the day, were that in this countryside, that demons and angels and nymphs and spirits and centaurs and all sorts of different things kind of just roamed throughout. And it was so easy to catch a cold of a demon. That these spirits, that they could enter through your nose, through your eyes, through your ears. And it was so very easy to get caught up in something that would have control over you. Now, in a modern sense, I feel like we've stumbled upon a few demons of our own, haven't we? We all have these small little concessions, and we all have these small little evils, and we all have these behaviors and these attitudes that begin maybe even small at first. But man, when they get in our souls and our spirits, they begin to take control. And they begin to wrap us up. And we begin to feel more controlled by these other names in the world than even by ourselves anymore. To where even when Jesus comes upon this man and looks him in the face and asks him, "What is your name?" He has no identity. He has no name. He's only known by the demons that torment him. I'm legion. 5,000 to 6,000 problems that have taken control to the point that no one else in this world has a place for him. Now, one of the beliefs of the day, that as maybe one of these spirits or one of these demons took control of you, that it believed that the exorcist or the priest that would come by, if they only knew the name of the demon that had a hold of you, if you could say the name, then you could have control over the demon. And so you can look at this, "What is your name," in a couple different lights as Jesus asks, "What is the name?" or "What is your name?" And he says, "Legion." But I think another way to look at that as well is the struggles and the problems and the issues and the addictions and the demons that we struggle with in our own lives, to see in this really moment the healing and the step that we can take by simply naming what torments us. Sometimes that very simple step has so much power of being able to name what has control over us. And just being able to identify that, even being able to understand what is plaguing us and tormenting us or has a hold of us, that in itself gives us some more control than we had before. But I want you to look at the story again in the way that this man comes to Jesus. So if you flip to the story just right before this one, we have the story of Jesus calming kind of the storm out on the Sea of Galilee. And what's really interesting about that is the disciples, as they wrap up this miraculous experience with Jesus as he stands in the bow of the boat and calms this killer storm that is raging around them, the disciples say, "Who is this man that even the storms and the winds obey him?" And yet as soon as he steps onto the shore, here's a man who's been cast out, who's been rejected, who has no place in society, that has no place with friends or family anymore. And man, he recognizes Jesus as soon as his foot hits the dirt. The hurting and the hopeless will always recognize Jesus before the righteous. We struggle with questions of faith when there are so many hurts in this world that desire just to be loved first. It is amazing what happens when Jesus steps onto the shores. How everything that seems to have control over us has a way of snapping and breaking and melting away. This is a story about God's power. This is a story about God's healing. In a very real way, it's a Jewish story to the communities of faith that will read it afterwards to show that there is no evil in this world that Jesus does not have control over. That here is a spirit, here is a legion of demons that no one else has been able to cast out, and yet Jesus is even to motion, and all of a sudden a man is set free. When I was reading the scripture earlier this week, as Jesus is sort of having this conversation with the spirits that are coming out of this man, they ask not to be thrown out into the abyss, but maybe if we can just get cast into a herd of swines. As the demons go into the pigs and then they run off into the lake, my very first thought was, man, that's really terrible for the pig farmer. That in the Gospel of Mark, it says 2,000 pigs, that 2,000 pigs take off and drown in the lake. But the purpose of the story, the Jewish context of the story, is to show that there is no uncleanliness, that there is no power of evil, that there is no moment in this world that Jesus does not have control over. And it's almost kind of an inside joke as well. That Jesus kind of, he puts the spin on the devil, that he puts kind of the spin on the demons, that he gives the demons exactly what it is that they ask for, and still the demons are the architects of their own destruction. But that's a reality that we're so very aware of as well. That even the small little concessions, even the small little evils, the small little lies that we let to build up and to grow, its sole goal in our lives is destruction. And it will continue to grow, and it will continue to fester, and it will continue to reach out. And if there is something that we are holding on to, trying to hide from this world, it will eventually come out. The only goal of evil is self-destruction. And it will always architect and author its own demise. And yet God has a way of freeing us and casting out any problems, any struggles that we have, and showing us that we have an opportunity to live accepted and beloved by God. As we think about what happens with this man, we think about all the different struggles that we have in our lives. We think about what are those things that torment us. We think about what are those things that feel like they have control over us. And even though we might sit here clothed, we might sit here with friends and family, and we might not live in whitewashed tombs on the countryside of the Gerasene shorelines, we know what it's like for things to take control of us. We know what it's like to live with stories and with worries and anxieties that tend to wrap us up and draw us away from relationships with other people. But we also have a witness of a God who loves us so very much that Jesus would sail across this lake, that he would cross this sea for this one man. Jesus doesn't do anything else in this countryside but leave immediately afterwards. And this man who was held, that was tormented, that was controlled by thousands of other problems and worries and demons and spirits and struggles and addictions and whatever they were, of the thousands of things that had control of him, he ends the story wanting to follow after one person. And this man who came to Jesus wondering what in the world Jesus had planned for him, ends the story begging Jesus to keep following him. But I feel like Jesus knew the testimony that was to come, of what it would mean for this man who had not even a name or a place or food or clothing or anything in this world to return home to those who knew how he used to be, and to declare the good news that God had healed him. Jesus tells him to go and tell of all the things that God has done for you. And what an amazing impact that would have. See, the ministry to the Gentiles, the ministry of the expansion of God's kingdom to not only the faithful Jews, but to anybody who would come and to seek after the love and the grace and the mercy of God, begins because Jesus saw a man tormented on a shoreline, stepped off a boat and healed him and saw him and reminded him that from every other name or every other legion that had control of him, that he was a child of God. And that one man went and started a ministry to a countryside that knew nothing of healing or of Jesus and of God, and began the expansion of the very kingdom of God to those before it never would have been allowed. And the opportunity that we have in our lives to do the same. Will you pray with me? Almighty and precious God, we do give you thanks. Lord, for the many demons and spirits and struggles and addictions and frustrations and names that we carry inside of us. Lord, names of fear, Lord, names of pain, of frustration and anger and disappointment. Lord, of the many things that have control of us in this life, remind us, Lord, that you are in control of all of creation. That we can come before you. And Lord, you can look beyond everything that has wrapped us up and you can see a very child of God. And so, Lord, we come to you and we ask for forgiveness. Lord, we ask for release of the many chains that we have bound ourselves up with. Lord, we ask forgiveness of release of all the many labels and names and the way that we have pushed out others that we felt like we didn't have enough answers for. Lord, and we can experience your ministry that you have come to heal us, that you have come to be with us, that you would cross any sea or any lake and come to any distant shore to step off that boat and to see us as your children. Lord, remind us of that, that as we can go forth, we go forth like the man, ready to tell of all the things that you have done for us. And Lord, of your healing, and of your presence, and of your grace and your mercy, we have a testimony to tell the world, and that they might come to know you more. As we do this all in Jesus' name, amen.